morning, 7:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us every Tuesday at about this time, we have Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing well. We had a bit of a concerning incident that happened overnight up in the North End, right?
Yeah, we were up there with EMS crews and public safety crews up there because there was a train derailment. The best location I can give you is it's 1 mile north of the sawmill located on Champion Drive, south of Century. There was a train derailment involving about 24 cars. Several of the cars, as I understand, contained hazardous materials, but were determined not to have been breached during the incident by the hazmat teams that were on scene. So there's no public safety concerns, and I understand it's a pretty isolated area, so there's not really any backup or vehicular concerns as well.
Okay, so we had a train derailment, 24 cars derailed. There were some hazardous materials, but none of the hazardous materials left their containers. So at this moment, it's basically, it's a train off the tracks, and that's all there is. Nobody was hurt, as far as you know. Is that right?
That's correct. It's apparently the derailment occurred over a creek up there. So there was a bit of a bridge, as I understand it, and either that collapsed or was deficient, and 24 cars were involved in this derailment, but as you and I both have said, there does not appear to be any breach of the 24 cars.
Wow. How does that get fixed? I mean, that just seems like a giant mess. How does that get solved, do you know?
I have no idea. I understand it may have been over Fletcher's Creek. I'm not familiar with that creek up there, but that's the location where it's supposed to have been, the train derail.
All right. So that's your guys cooperating with EMS up in the North End. Of course, you know, you have folks stationed up in Century. That's a long way up there. I mean, I know you know, sometimes people don't realize how big Escambia and Santa Rosa counties are south to north, but they're really huge tracts of land. So anyway, well, good news, I guess, that it wasn't worse, because it certainly could have been much worse. You guys also we've been reporting on this. You had the Calvary Baptist story. Can you maybe just clarify, because this seems like, didn't this happen before? What's going on? Why is this in the news again?
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear it or not, but as I pulled off the side of the road, because I don't like talking on the radio when I'm driving, so I pulled off the side of the road, and as we're talking about the train derailment, you probably could hear it, the train that's next to me just blasted his horn a couple times. So clearly the railroad track is still intact, and the trains are still going north and south.
Okay.
Along 29. So, yeah.
Well, that's good news.
I will tell you that we arrested NIMS for the third time, and some people have been asking why we were doing it three different times. When we arrested him the first time in June, we discovered some other storage devices that he had in his possession, and then during the search warrants. When we reviewed that information, we found some child pornography, so we rearrested him. And when we rearrested him, he had some more storage devices on his person. We checked those devices, and we found, I believe it was 8 more cases, 4 of which involved juveniles, and which makes it a felony. And so he's charged with 8 more counts, and 4 of which are felony counts of video voyeurism.
Okay, so it's a matter of, it's not necessarily brand new incidents. It's more a matter of new charges based on new evidence that you guys have discovered in the process of investigating the original charges. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say. Every time we arrest him, we discover more storage devices, and as we look at those, we find more cases.
Okay, so it's not like
that's all the cases, but the investigation does continue.
All right, very good. I appreciate that, because it can feel like, well, why is he doing more of this stuff? Well, it's not that he's doing more; it's that you're finding more. Hey, one of the things you had some really interesting things that you were talking about with Commissioner Burgosh during his coffee with the commissioner last week. One of them is one that I had been meaning to ask you about, and we just hadn't had a chance yet. Talk to us about the Blazer Academy initiative. This is really interesting stuff.
Yeah, we're really excited about it. We want to be involved in the area youth. We want to be involved in mentoring some of the youth in our area. We have a lot of groups that do that, Big Brothers, Big Sisters, a lot of other groups do a lot of mentoring. But we feel like at the Sheriff's Office, the men and women that we employ, we're in a unique position to have some insight that may be able to help some of these youngsters in their life. So what we wanted to do was create an academy or a session, if you will, that's going to be They're going to meet four times a month, and it's going to be called the Blazer Academy. We're going to teach them, really the first class is going to teach them how to be a gentleman, some things in society that we have learned in law enforcement, some things to be wary of, and then we're going to have some cautionary tales. And again, we're going to kind of give them a some clothing that we hope that they can use on future job interviews. They can use, really as they begin their professional career as well. That's why we call it the Blazer Academy. We're going to give them a pair of khakis. We're going to give them a blue blazer. We're going to teach them the little things and the big things. We're going to teach them about dating violence, about domestic violence, about the dangers of drugs, obviously, of drug violence. And it just gives us an opportunity to reach out. We're going to have the first class of 13, 14, and 15-year-old young men. And then later on, probably next year, we'll have a couple of classes, and we intend to incorporate one for young ladies as well.
That's great. What kind of interest level have you had in going through this process?
We've had quite a bit. We've only put it out on our Facebook page. We felt like the first class would fill up pretty well. We don't want it to be 60 members strong. What we wanted was about 25 kids. And we've already filled up the first class of 25, but we're asking that if someone has an interest, please let us know. We'll certainly put them on the list. We intend to begin the first Tuesday in August, and it'll go. We will meet every Tuesday in August with a graduation and a dinner at a fine restaurant downtown.
Very good. No, I love the idea. I just think all of the young men, and some also of the young women, but especially of the young men who would benefit from this, and who maybe haven't had a strong father figure in their lives or any father figure in their lives, and you just have a capable, competent adult teaching them. And it's like you said, it's all the stuff you never think about, like how to shake a hand and look somebody in the eye. Stuff that is so powerful if you don't know how to do it, and but if you just get trained on how to do that, it can make a difference in your life prospects, right?
Well, yeah, we were going through the agenda just a couple of days ago when there's things that come up like, these are things that my dad taught me. These are things my uncle taught me or my grandfather taught me. These are things that my mentor taught me. Things like grooming, and we're going to have a round table setting where we will have what we call man talk. And Ben, it's just things that our parents or our mentors have taught us that we hope to to pass down to the members of the Blazer Academy. We feel really good about it. We're very proud to be able to do it. We use some drug money. People ask, well, how are you funding it? It's not through tax dollars. We're using drug money, and then we're also partnering with the Escambia Sheriff Foundation for future classes.
That's just fantastic. And I know a lot of this probably grows out of your heart as a coach. Over the years, you've told me different stories about, the difference you saw in kids' lives as a coach, and this is just another way to expand that mentoring capability and do the thing that we always talk about, building better images and better relationship between, at-risk communities and law enforcement, which is a great thing. Sheriff, I heard about something, and I just wanted to go to you to find out the truth of it because I don't know. I had been told by somebody that you guys have a different kind of siren that is deployed on at least some of the vehicles. I heard it called the Rumbler. And I don't know too much other than I guess it sends out some lower level sound pulse that you feel more than hear that gets cars more easily to be aware that there's some. Can you tell me anything about this? Because I really don't know too much.
Well, that's exactly what it is. If you recall, watching television, some of the older sirens had the same consistent wail. During my career, at least, the audible tones would modulate a little bit so that they would grab a little more attention. And now we have what we call the Rumbler, and it's just one more tone. It's as you mentioned, a deeper, more of a rumble. I liken it to sometimes you'll hear the bass of a car with a radio real loud before you'll really hear the words or you'll see the car.
Okay.
And our attempt is that people can hear it or feel it in some cases before they can even understand that there's a cruiser car there with lights and sirens on.
So if I'm driving down the road and I experience this thing, I would experience it as if somebody's got a loud stereo coming behind me, and then at some point I might see the lights and hear the sirens, but it might at first feel like that pulse of a loud stereo, and some people should be aware that that might be a cop near them. Is that right?
Yeah, and the intent, my understanding is the intent more is whenever you approach a red light. You know, a lot of times people will see emergency vehicles come to a traffic signal, and then we'll obviously stop or slow down a lot, and then we will proceed through, and that's when we'll use it. It's in the steering column, and when we push that, it'll activate what we call the rumbler, and again, we use that just as a little different. A different noise mechanism so that people will pay a little bit more attention. That's the desire of it.
So it's like a pulse, like an attention getter that if you're near an intersection, whoa, something's happening, I need to pay attention. Is it on all the cars or just some of the cars? Or
no, it's not on all the cars yet, but it is something that we install on all the new cars. So we've had them for the last couple of years, so probably over half of our fleet does have them, but not. I can't say that every car has the rumbler.
All right, there you go. So if you're driving and you feel a weird whoa going on, pay attention. Might be in a Escambia County Sheriff's vehicle near you, especially if you're at an intersection. Sheriff Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Simmons, thank you so much for the time. As always, thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe. Love some of these extra initiatives. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.